We have two scripture readings today. The first is on page 989 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to read along. Hear the word of the Lord. It's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Our second reading is from 1 Peter 3:15. It's on page 1202. "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today we continue talking about marks of discipleship and how we go deeper in Christian witness. My experience is that this is something that isn't universally understood. If I were to take a poll of everyone here today, my thought is that we would have several different understandings and definitions for Christian witness. So today I'd like to just go back, and I mean way back, and talk a bit about how our stories came to be and what the meaning of story really is in our faith. It may surprise you, or maybe not, to learn that the earliest origin stories in civilizations were oral, not written. They passed from generation to generation, not in written form, but around fires and around gatherings and around celebrations, when all of these things would be talked about and all of the origins would be discussed, the why people exist, why we exist here, what is the world all about, how did it all come to be? All of these questions have been part of our human journey since the very beginning. And they include not only origin, but the idea of the cosmos, earth below, heavens above, stars in the night sky. What does all this really mean? What separates the day from the night? People have been grappling with this since humanity came into being. And in different civilizations, it took different forms. For the Greeks, it was Olympus and the story of the Titans. For the Norse, it was Odin and Valhalla. For the Egyptians, it was Atum and Nun. For the Babylonians, it was Tiamat and Marduk. And part of these stories is coming to be. Part of these stories is conflict and victory. Part of these stories is explaining who we are, what our deepest stories of origin are. And of course, for us in the tradition of Yahweh, it is of course what we have in our scripture as well. These stories come to us. And I'd like you to reflect for just a minute on how the story of God and Jesus came to you. Think about that just for a second. How did that come to you? Anyone want to share? How'd it come? Yeah. When you were made to go to a summer camp, and yeah, you do, I hear you. And what happened at that summer camp? How? What happened?
My brother was in jail and they told my mom he didn't want me to.
Okay. Okay, so how did it come to you? How did all this message come to you?
So because of that, my brother, I read that letter from my brother, my heart was open.
So it came to you in a letter from your brother.
And so it was a campus life for Christ summer camp. And because of that, I did a complete 360 from that summer camp.
Thanks be to God. How else did it come to some others? This awareness. Yeah, Barb.
Christmas Eve midnight service during candlelight and sing the silent night.
Oh, wow. And all of a sudden, in that moment, being surrounded by other voices and in that sacred space.
And saying yes.
And saying yes to God. Wow. Any other thoughts? For me, it came from my grandmother. It came from her calm, steadfast love of God and Jesus Christ. That as I was a kid and as a teen, I noticed it. It impacted me. I heard the stories that she told me. But I wasn't ready to receive it really all. It just, you know, I was a kid. But yet the story rang true in me, deep within me. Something in there resonated with her words. Something within you resonated with the words of your brother. Something within you resonated with the voices of God's people and the sacred space you were in. We are all touched by the story in different ways. And often we rush past it. We don't take time to really think and reflect upon what our origin story is in our faith. This idea of communicating our faith stories actually comes from a word in Greek called eugelion, which if you take the U to a V, which often gets transposed, it becomes evangelism. Eugelion, which means bringing good news. Bringing good news. And that's really what Christian witness is all about, is bringing good news. But that requires us to understand what is good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ was not good news to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the gospel of Jesus Christ may at times in your life not be good news either. So what do we mean when we say the good news? We need to go deeper. And we need to look at our human needs and our human understandings. As much as we need origin stories for who we are as a people, we need origin stories for who we are as spiritual beings as well. We need to work deeper into that meaning. It isn't Christianity light. It's truly understanding what binds us to one another and what binds us individually to God. And this is tough stuff. Oftentimes we don't think about it. And sometimes we can sit in pews for years or decades and never ponder these questions. What makes the story of Jesus good news to you? What makes the story of Jesus good news to us? And both questions are essential because salvation comes to us both individually and as a people. And this is so true of our Hebrew origins, who saw God's favor or God's turning away from them based upon the people's response to covenant. And so it is true with us individually as well, because we all impact that by how we choose and how we behave. Oftentimes it helps to have an example of what Christian witness looks like. We don't need to look any farther than the story of Mary in John 20, who, after going to the garden, runs back to the disciples and says, what? I have seen the Lord. Christian Witness 101. The resurrected Lord, a miracle, a change, something unexpected. She goes back to those who are afraid and have felt hopeless and says, I have seen the Lord. Notice that it's first person. This isn't secondhand, oh, well, somebody has seen the Lord. Or, John, have you seen the Lord? What is her statement? I have seen the Lord. And that is the core of all Christian witness, is what we have seen, what we have experienced, what we can claim is our truth, our origin in Christ. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and to baptize and to teach. Those who were gathered together and shared experience with him were then, in Luke 10, sent out in pairs, 72 of them, into every place where Jesus was to go and prepare that way. And then we heard in today's scripture that Jesus is continuing that theme when he says, go into the world and baptize and teach all the things that I have commanded of you. They prepared the way for Christ. They were all people who had firsthand stories of Jesus. So the good news is not about someone else's encounter with God or Christ. The good news is about how you and I have encountered the resurrected Lord and Savior in our lives. So what's your story? And I really mean that. What is your story? Take a moment. And I really mean this because we don't stop and really process. So I want you just to take a moment and I want you to reflect on what your story of Jesus is. Take a moment. I'm seeing some blank looks, so let me help you. Who first talked with you about Jesus? What was your first experience of feeling connected to Jesus? What was going on in your life when Jesus started to really matter to you? How did that awareness of Jesus' love and acceptance impact you? Is your story becoming more clear? This is your story. This is your experience. And yet, how does that connect more broadly to God's story? How do we have these experiences, these moments where our story is building here in our relationship with Jesus, but yet we know that it connects to the arc of God's covenant with all people? We know that these two things come together. How do we bring them together? How do we give meaning to our experiences through the meanings of God's people? And that's when we start talking about God. There's a term that you may have heard called theologian. Have you heard that? You know what it really means when you break it down? Theo logos, talking about God. That's all it really means. So if you talk to one another, if you talk to others, if you question, if you converse about God, you're a theologian. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to do all that. You are a theologian. And that means you're talking about God and you're connecting your story with God's, and it's giving new meaning to your life, because Christian witness is never complete without change. Uh-oh, I said the C word. Christian witness is never complete without change. Because we have a God who loves us so much that God always meets us where we are, right? But God loves us too much to leave us there. And so we are accompanied and loved and nudged and sometimes kicked in the pants to move forward in the ways that God is beckoning and calling and preparing for us. Oftentimes people spend years or decades or lives in pews and never really reflect upon how the presence and the real story of Christ in their life has changed them. They never take a moment to reflect on who and what they were before baptism and teaching took hold in their life. If you're here and you haven't experienced that yet, you're in good company. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, went most of his adult life, well, half of his adult life, he was a priest, an Anglican priest. He had been on mission to the colony at the time of Georgia. It had failed. He went back and he was doubting, who am I? I have learned all of this at Oxford about theology, and I know how to pray and I know how to lead worship, but I just don't feel Christ in my life. Then he was walking by a gathering on Aldersgate Street, and he heard Romans being talked about. Theo logos. And he felt his heart strangely warmed. And in that moment, he knew that Christ was his. Even his. And that Christ's saving grace was upon him as well. So if you're struggling with this, if you're trying to identify where you are, what your story is, where it intersects with God's story, you're in good company. But struggle on. Allow your story to come into full form in the broader story of God's covenant with God's people. If you really want to get at this, there's some questions you may want to think about. How did Jesus impact a decision that you have made? How has God comforted you in a real sense during a time of trial? How have you behaved in a different way because of Christ's teaching? All of these things continue to form our story. All we need to do is recognize them and then let them spring forth from our lips and become a story that changes others too. Now, I do want to spend just 1 minute, because I've been told, well, telling people about my Christian faith is a scary thing. Other people say, no, I just got to go out and tell everybody. I got to grab them, I've got to stop them, and I've got to tell them. So here we got this. Here's something that may help. Be ready. Be ready. Know your story. Know God's story. Know where they connect. And be ready. God will lead you into those situations. Trust me, I know. God will lead you to where you have opportunities to speak your truth, your origin story in faith to someone who desperately needs to hear. That will happen. So just be ready. So I hope that we have a little bit better understanding of Christian witness today. What it is an origin for all of us and for each of us. And how we connect to God's bigger story. And how that has changed us and formed us into who we are today. Have the courage to share that story when the time comes. Amen. Amen.